This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. There's a line from the Miranda Rights that if you've ever watched a cop show like Law & Order, you've probably heard 1,000 times. It's the one about having a right to speak to an attorney, and if you cannot afford an attorney, one will be provided for you. But there's no such right in civil matters, even though those situations can be almost as life-altering as criminal ones. If you don't have the money for a lawyer, you have to face civil cases on your own. Losing a case could mean losing your home and health care, or for a survivor of domestic violence, not being able to secure a restraining order or retain custody of your children. Unequal access based on ability to pay for representation in the civil legal system is called a justice gap. It's a term used by legal aid advocates to describe the challenges posed by millions of civil legal problems each year and how people often find themselves facing those cases alone. Here to discuss this, I'm joined by Dan Glazier, Executive Director of Legal Services for Eastern Missouri. Dan, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Elaine, thank you. Good to be here.
Now, in the interest of transparency, we should note that St. Louis Public Radio received an award from Legal Services of Eastern Missouri earlier this year for its coverage of legal issues, and STLPR has been a sponsor of Legal Services events. So now to the conversation. Dan, Legal Services of Eastern Missouri is one of more than 130 similar nonprofits across the country representing people in court. Now, we're going to talk later about how these groups are connected, but I'd like to begin with some basics on what legal services means here. So you're not representing corporations suing each other. Who are your clients, Dan?
Great. Thank you, Elaine. So Legal Services of Eastern Missouri, first of all, we serve 21 counties throughout Eastern Missouri. We go as far north as the Iowa border and as far south as Potosi. But the main source of our clients come from St. Louis City, St. Louis County, and the surrounding areas. Mm-hmm. The clients we serve, okay, we call them low-income, low-opportunity individuals. Mm-hmm. These are people with great skills and aptitudes, but they are low income and they have not had opportunities. And what we do at Legal Services of Eastern Missouri is work with them, mm-hmm, to try to navigate the obstacles that the legal system so often provides for low-income individuals, mm-hmm, in the civil arena. We only do civil cases. But as you stated at your outset, the consequences of civil distress, civil cases, lack of housing, mm-hmm, lack of health care, lack of food resources, these can be life-threatening. They are life-threatening, and we address that every day. And, of course, we'll be talking about that more, but the threat of domestic violence is a very, very big part of the kind of representation we try to do. Mm-hmm. So what we say basically is we do survival services.
Survival.
Yeah, survival, yes, services.
Now, when clients first come in, are there some questions that they typically ask, right off the bat?
Can you help me? we try to make it as positive an experience as we can. And actually, if we, in a little bit, I'll be happy to share a couple times when folks are very happy to get our services for an even more positive way. But for the most part, when you're seeing a lawyer, you are facing extraordinary distressful circumstances for you and your family. Mm-hmm. So really they want to know, how can you help? And, give me some answers.
Right. So you have been the executive director of Legal Services, Dan, for 20 years, but you actually started as an attorney. What was it that brought you into this field to begin with?
Doing this work has been the passion of my life, and I'm so fortunate to do it and to do it with the amazing people that we do each and every day. I've actually been at Legal Services of Eastern Missouri for 43 years. What brought me originally to St. Louis, I'm from Pennsylvania, was I got there. Washington University has a law. You can get a dual law and social work degree at Washington University, graduate degrees. And that's what brought me there. I knew I wanted to be an advocate. I knew I wanted to help people. I knew I wanted to make a difference. And I was looking for sort of a modality to make that happen. And there are many modalities, and we're going to talk about that. But being a, for me, being a legal advocate was the way to do it. Mm-hmm. And so I came out here many, many years ago, went to George Warren Brown, the Brown School, then went to did a dual degree at the law school, and I've been doing it ever since. I started out representing individuals in public benefits cases. Welfare, food stamps, healthcare, and then I moved into housing, and I was a housing lawyer for many, many years. And then it wasn't in my actual overall plan to become the executive director, but hey, life is funny that way. And close to 20 years ago, that opportunity came through, and I went for it, and I've never regretted it.
So, as someone who is the representative of Legal Services of Eastern Missouri, are there, you know, anecdotes or cases that you share in speaking with people that really show what kinds of consequences there can be, positive consequences as well as negative ones, when people do not have the representation that they should have?
Yeah. You know, for so many people, you know, for those of us with economic means, when, you know, you get a bill you can't pay, or, you know, you have a consumer product you get and it doesn't work out. I mean, that's a problem. It's a toe stub. Okay. Mm-hmm. But for a low income person without resources, that toe stub that we experience can cascade into homelessness, can cascade into health extreme health challenges, can cascade into great safety problems. You owe a bill, you can't pay it, or you're wrongfully asked to pay a bill. You get this bill, then you've got to go to court to represent yourself, which means you may have to take off work. You could potentially lose your job for doing that. You may not have transportation to do that. And your kids, you may not have a place for your kids when you go do those things. These are all things that if we aren't there, or groups like us aren't there to walk with these individuals, the consequences can be, as I said, catastrophic. Mm-hmm. And we see this each and every day.
And as you say the word catastrophic, and we go back to what I'd mentioned in the introduction about a justice gap.
Yes.
A gap is something into which people will fall, not necessarily knowing how they'll be able to get out of it. What is the justice gap? How do you describe what that is to someone who is completely unfamiliar?
Yeah. Well, I'm not a math major, I will say that, but I can say this. A simple way of looking at the justice gap is that the need for civil legal help, the need for help in navigating all these things we've already started talking about, all right, is so great. There are over 300,000 individuals that could qualify for our services in our 21-county service area. The need is so great, all right? And I know this is not a visual medium, but I could tell if my arm was up towards the ceiling, that's the need.
Right.
And the resources are way below that, okay?
Right.
and the space between the need and the resources, that's the gap.
Mm-hmm.
That's the gap. Because here's the good news. When we are able to help someone, and as we'll talk about later, both in legal and social work, when we do that holistic advocacy, our success rate is like 95%. So if we can get you as a client and you can get us as your representative, you will get help.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is there are so many more people that need civil help for housing, for healthcare, for nutrition, all those things. We can't serve, we can't meet that full need.
Mm-hmm.
And those folks fall in that gap. And, you know, we try to do all we can to provide resources and all of that, sometimes short of full representation. But the bottom line is, you know, there are more people in our region and frankly in our country that have civil legal needs than the resources allow for.
Mm-hmm. Now, in 2022, there was a publication of results from a survey from legal services nonprofits across the U.S., and it found that 3/4 of low-income households have experienced at least one civil legal problem in the past year.
Yes.
Is that in alignment with what you've seen here in Missouri?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, when you are a low-income person, you know, life happens to all of us, right? But when you are a low-income person and don't have the resources to navigate, I mean, you know, the legal system is scary for everybody,
sure,
right?
Sure.
You know, and I always say we're like tour guides through that system. But when you don't have the resources, you're going to experience, legal challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we are there to help you navigate that when we can give you that ideally full representation.
Yeah. So in so far as numbers go, I mean, how many clients do you have to turn away?
Well, you know, we serve, like last year, we served over 7,000 individuals with individual representation. And then through community education and through helping pro se litigants and all that, a total of about 30,000 people. Okay, but we have at least twice that many that reach out to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I will tell you, things have gotten more intense. All right, and the pandemic played a role in that. You know, think about it. During the pandemic, we were all vulnerable, right? But the people we represent each and every day are the most vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And think about how they were during that pandemic. The most vulnerable, and I'm proud of how we pivoted through that, and there were resources that were created that helped rent moratorium, rent assistance, healthcare, opportunities, increased food stamps, a lot of things to help us get through that horrible time. Well, the pandemic is for the most part waning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Gone, but our clients' needs have not, you know, and so we believe that's part of the reason why our numbers have greatly increased.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, whereas we work every day to try to increase our resources from a variety of sources, the resources are not enough to meet the need. But again, when we're able to help, we do make a difference.
We need to take a quick break here, but when we come back, we'll continue this conversation and introduce another voice with some firsthand experience working with clients. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation about the landscape for legal services for low-income people and how attorneys and social workers are working to address the so-called justice gap. We've been speaking with Dan Glazier, Executive Director of Legal Services of Eastern Missouri. One of the areas this nonprofit works in involves domestic violence. And before we talk further about this, if you are in danger, please call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 800-799-7233 or call the National Sexual Assault Hotline at 800-656-4673. Now, to talk about domestic violence and the law, here is another voice. That is the voice of Laura Hoffman Morris, who's a social worker, and she serves as the co-manager of the Lasting Solutions Program at Legal Services of Eastern Missouri. Laura, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
So we've heard a lot from Dan Glazier, and the work that you are doing is day-to-day, and it involves working with survivors of domestic violence. And I think a lot of folks think of domestic violence as a criminal matter that involves the police, getting the abuser, you know, put in jail or in prison. But that is not where your work is focused, Laura. Where do these issues fall in the civil court system?
Absolutely. Thank you for pointing that out. So our Lasting Solutions Family Law Unit provides free legal representation and supportive services to individuals who have experienced domestic and sexual violence. We represent these individuals in divorce cases, custody matters, and orders of protection, regardless of if they're involved in the criminal system. And we're able to use the legal system to help these survivors have tangible tools to really separate from that abusive partner.
Mm-hmm. What is one of those tools then?
Sure. So thinking about a divorce or custody case or an order of protection. So an order of protection or a restraining order, as it's often called, can help with that immediate safety, right? You're asking the court to help keep that abusive party away from you. Sometimes it can involve a custody order or things like that. But bottom line, you are saying you're fearful of this person and can they need to not contact you.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, please continue.
The divorce and custody are more longer term options, right? Mm. So we can get into, you know, whether putting in place a parenting plan, you know, to who's going to have the children when. Maybe if that abusive party is working, can they help support the children? Separating assets and debts as well. Mm-hmm. So really these things that maybe make it hard to separate from a partner who's been abusive.
Mm-hmm. Now, Dan, does the criminal justice system come into play here, you know, when someone comes to talk with someone like Laura? I mean, are there situations perhaps in which there are complications that arise because there are too many things kind of happening at the same time?
Well, the law is complicated, and being enmeshed in it, you know, it can be complicated. Mm-hmm. I will say that our counterparts on the criminal side, the public defender programs,
yes,
wonderful public defender program in the state of Missouri and in our service area, are great partners of ours. Mm-hmm. And we work together. You know, often, you know, our clients, first of all, they're the same in terms of being, income challenged, mm-hmm, right? And so we, I'd say mostly it's been a, it's a navigation. But it's a navigation working towards the same goal,
mm-hmm,
right?
Right?
Helping our folks get through either of those systems,
okay,
right?
Now, Laura, for someone who is leaving a domestic violence situation, they may have a lot of legal needs all at the same time around housing, security, even community. How is it that you help someone in that situation? And, you know, are there limits on what you can do within the legal system?
Sure. So that is one great privilege of working at Legal Services of Eastern Missouri, frankly, because while someone is receiving that legal representation for a divorce or a custody matter, we can also help plug them in with one of our housing attorneys, for example, if they're facing an eviction or if their food stamps were cut off because their family's changed, you know, somebody left their household and or issues with Medicaid, we can plug into those experts that are at Legal Services to really help offer as many stabilizing supports as we can for that family so that they can move past this chapter, frankly.
Right.
And if I could jump in, the other beauty of holistic advocacy, lawyers, social workers, right?
Yes.
Not every legal aid has that. And we're fortunate that we do. And Laura's one of our wonderful examples of that is, you know, the law is not a vacuum, all right? And you need to have those resources. We can help these people get orders of protection, but if we can't help them find the resources to do safety planning, to find a way to get you and your family, you know, in a better situation, and that's what our terrific social workers do.
And is this why, then, you have social work in addition to the legal support? I mean, Laura, for your part in dealing with clients and they're coming to the realization that these things are available together, what difference does that make? Do you have an example of how that, as a revelation, can be such a help to someone coming to you?
Absolutely. I think both the law and social work are so much stronger when working together, frankly. And a lot of the people we work with, I think, see much better outcomes when those disciplines are in partnership. So I think of our clients can, you know, look all different ways, frankly. Domestic violence impacts people in of all ages, races, genders, and so on. But an example that we have is often a parent or a mother who has children who maybe has experienced abuse for a long time and kind of dealt with it.
Mm-hmm.
But then maybe it's intensified recently or something that happens often is maybe a physical attack happened in front of a child, you know, or the child tried to step in. And that parent is now trying to figure out what legal options they may have in separating. As they are connected with our attorneys to get that order of protection, to maybe move forward with a divorce, our social workers are able to help connect them with maybe some financial resources to pay a security deposit for a new place, help introduce them to counseling resources that we have in our community. We have a rich network of supports in St. Louis that are here helping survivors of domestic violence. So, you know, helping somebody maybe apply for Medicaid for the first time, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of the survivors we're working with, they didn't plan this. They didn't want this even.
Of course.
But they're thrown into it. And
right.
So now sometimes our social workers are help walk on that journey.
Mm-hmm. Now, last year, your program, which again is the Lasting Solutions Program at Legal Services of Eastern Missouri, you had about 480 people come to you with cases. And those are cases that you closed. But how is it that you figure out which cases you can take and which you cannot?
Gosh, that is the hardest part of our job, I think. We have an amazing team of attorneys and paralegals and social workers working together. And frankly, we read through every single case, every single person who is eligible for our services and see what our capability is at any given time of can we take on this case? What kind of services can we offer? If we can't offer services, what can we offer? You know, what kind of extra resources or connections or legal information can we pass on?
Mm-hmm. Now, Dan, earlier we'd mentioned the National Legal Service Corporation. And to be clear, Legal Services of Eastern Missouri is an independent nonprofit, but it does get most of its funding from that corporation, which receives grants from the federal government. Now, at the same time, your attorneys are representing clients in cases that might involve housing or healthcare, and that means you could be suing the federal government. So how does that work? I mean, how do you and your attorneys, how do you thread that needle?
Talk about creating a brilliant business plan, right? I will say just to, you know, it used to be, majority of our funds came from the Legal Services Corporation. Now it's more like 30%, okay? But it's meaningful. It's our largest funding source, all right? And what we do when our clients interface with so many actors, including the government, if necessary, we sue the government.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not an ideal business model.
Right.
But it's what we got to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we do it. You know, I often say for a uncoordinated person, I got to be pretty nimble.
Okay.
And we all do. We all do at Legal Services. They're right. More coordinated than I am. But
so that 30%, I mean, what does that cover? And then what's missed? I mean, where does the rest of the funding come from?
Great question. So about 30% comes from the federal government, from the Legal Services Corporation, which actually is its own entity. And, you know, as you may talk about it, it's celebrating its 50th anniversary this year.
Yes.
Yeah. But then approximately, 40% come from other grants and other funding sources like foundations, all right? And, we also get some money from filing fees in the state of Missouri, and that's a meaningful amount that is helpful through state legislation that enables that. And then we get money from keep people that care, good people like those listening to NPR each and every day who want to make a difference, and they can send funds to us as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a challenge.
Right.
You have to cobble it all together. Why? Because the stakes are too high. We cannot let our clients, more people, fall through that justice gap.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of stakes, I mean, we talked earlier about the justice gap, and I'd like to know from each of you, in the last sort of portion of our conversation, what is it that makes closing this justice gap so urgent now? Laura?
I think people's lives are on the line, frankly. We know that from nationwide studies that, 83% of victims with attorneys obtained an order of protection, or that number dropped to 32% for people who didn't have representation. Sometimes having an attorney can really put in place the safety precautions that are necessary for a survivor of domestic violence to really separate. So an attorney, I think legal representation can truly help our community so that to create safer families moving forward.
Mm-hmm. And Dan, I mean, you've been talking about the justice gap for a long time. I mean, 10 years ago, you were on the show with a different host speaking about it. Have things improved in the decade that's passed? And what is it that still needs to be done?
Well, things have been improved in the sense that I will say we have expanded the kinds of things that we do, the kinds of programs we do, the kind of help we're able to give folks. But the problem is still great, and those numbers have not changed. And to some extent, they are increasing.
Mm-hmm.
So we just have to be as resourceful. And frankly, the community, the government, everyone, priorities. We have to prioritize equal justice for individuals. Mm-hmm. Just to give you a quick stat, last year people spent more money, on Halloween costumes, than they did for funding legal aid programs.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a caveat: spent more money on Halloween costumes for their pets than we spend in providing equal access to justice for those in need.
Mm-hmm.
And it's critical.
Right. There's certainly more to talk about. We'll pick this up again in the future. Dan Glaser is Executive Director of Legal Services of Eastern Missouri, and Laura Hoffman-Morris is a social worker who serves as the co-manager of the Lasting Solutions Program at Legal Services of Eastern Missouri. Thank you to each of you for joining us today.
Thanks so much. It's such a pleasure.
Thank you, Elaine.
This episode was produced by Danny Wissentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.